last song before the special message. Let's turn to 720. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? 720.
Stain the old. that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, soul so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained.
Amen. Well, it sure is good to be in church today. Amen. You can think of some places you'd rather not be, like a hospital, like a doctor's office, having your income tax checked, something like that. But it is good to be in God's house. I'm glad that I'm here. Appreciate the privilege. It's an awesome responsibility to stand behind this pulpit, knowing and considering the man that has stood behind it. It's an awesome thing to carry the Word of God. God's willing and able to use anybody and everybody. And don't be afraid to do something for God. My wife, who listens to me preach, I don't know how many times, I think I mentioned to you before about our kids in school, in college, calculated it was over 12,000 times that I've had the privilege of standing behind somebody's pulpit and preaching something. My dear wife had to listen to that 99% of the time. And so she doesn't laugh anymore. She just kind of cries back yonder there. But it is good to be with God's people. Somebody's going to ask you tomorrow, what did you do? Went to church. Well, why did you go to church? Because I love the Lord. And I love being with God's people. And that's really a good thing about this place. A little quip that we use. There's no place like this place, near this place, so this must be the place. And we're glad that you found your way to this place this morning. Glad you have a Bible. And thank God for it. Praise the Lord that you have a Bible. And I thank God for the King James Bible. And that's the Bible. And so take it and turn, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel. Now, in the front of your Bible is a table of context. And if you don't know where it is, look in the table of context and find it. Don't be embarrassed. You know, it's got to be here someplace. Keep turning pages. There's 66 choices for you to make. You know, just don't blindly open it up and turn there. So find it and get to chapter 33. Chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. I'm going to read for you, and you can follow along in your Bibles, verses 1 through 9. Then I'm going to preach a message entitled, If You're Looking for Trouble, If You're Not Looking for Trouble, You're Looking for Trouble. Okay? If you're not looking for trouble, let's get it right now. If you're not looking for trouble, you're looking for trouble. That's what here the good Lord instructed Ezekiel to do. Or the man here was instructed to do, was to look for trouble. America is in the shape it's in today because we stopped looking for trouble. When Elvis Presley got on the idiot box, started doing what he was doing, some of us cried, that's trouble. We were looking for trouble. The emphasis that this nation has placed upon sports, professional sports, is we need to be, we're looking, if we don't see the trouble in it, then we're looking for trouble. And we are experiencing the trouble. So I want to share some ideas with you this morning about looking for trouble. Looking for, oh, I don't like to look for trouble. Well, you get in the automobile and you hear a noise. Clink, clink, clink. And your wife says, what's that noise? She's looking for trouble. I turn the radio up and say, what noise? small voice crying in the wilderness back there. That's true. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. Those of you who are sitting here who will dedicate themselves to that responsibility, not sole responsibility, but dedicate to that responsibility, are looking for trouble. They're looking for trouble. They're looking for trouble. And when they got all the different perversions out there, we cried, that's trouble. That's trouble. Some were looking for trouble when you come out with a different perversion. A different, how do you say that correctly? But anyway, different perversion, a perversion of the Bible. And so we need to be on our toes as Christian folks to preserve and protect what God has raised up here in a land called America. And so we need to be looking for trouble. And if you're not looking for trouble, then you're looking for trouble. And I hope you understand this better than I do when we're done. Ezekiel chapter 1, chapter 33 and verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of that land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So if you hear something today from behind the pulpit, or you read something in God's word that is a form of a warning, and you don't heed it, you're accountable. You're accountable. My children said to me, Daddy, is there anything that you do like? Because I was perpetually warning them about the culture in which we live. We all live in a culture that's not a godly culture. It's an anti-God. Why are we having so much trouble with our teenagers today? Because the culture that they're in is purporting and reporting wickedness and availing it so readily to the young people. Somebody's got to be warning those young people. And when they're not getting warned and they wind up in trouble, it is their fault. It is they're accountable for their own actions. But I think we need to share in some of that responsibility. Yeah? We don't get shocked anymore. You what? You got to be kidding me. You're doing that? Oh, you know, some of you parents need to practice just a little bit of role playing, because we don't get shocked much anymore. Come on now. And we need to get shocked once again back into doing what's right. Verse number 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse number 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Mom and dad, there's a responsibility you all have to let your children know that action is going to reap poor dividends. It's going to damage and hurt you. So you have a responsibility to your young person. And young person, you have a responsibility to accept the admonition of somebody a little bit older than you. Some have gotten burned and they don't want you to get burned. Some have gotten hurt, but they don't want you to get hurt. There's not many, if any, older person who's gotten burnt wants their child or children younger than them to get burnt by the same instrument, by the same disease, by the same trial, by the same tribulation. They don't want it. We've learned a lesson and tried to convey it down. Verse number 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Fundamental Christian folks, you've got a responsibility of warning the wicked. When I say unto the wicked, verse 8, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You'll be in account. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for these few moments, we pray that you would guide and direct what is said from behind this sacred desk. And Lord, that you would guide and direct as it falls on receptive ears and hearts and minds, that we might go forth from this place just not just a little, but a whole lot closer to you in our walk, in our love, in our performance, in all that we do. Lord, be pleased with what's accomplished here this morning. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, let me give you a warning. You need to know Christ. For to know him is life eternal. If you never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to. I cannot assume because you have found your way to this place that you're a born-again Christian. I do have time, and I would take the time. And you would be kind of shocked if I did. But I'd like to meet you. I'd like to meet you individually. I'd like to come down from off the platform and just go from row to row, chair to chair, seat to seat, person to person, and just ask you a question. If you were to die today, where would you go? If you're sitting out there saying, I sure hope we don't do anything like that. My wife is sitting back there and saying the same thing. I sure hope you don't embarrass himself. But just suppose I was to go and ask you that question. Some of you say, I wouldn't mind. Matter of fact, I'd even stand up in church and tell folks I trusted Christ when I was, gentlemen talked to me earlier in between the services, and 40 years, I believe, been a member of the church. And to be a member of the church, you need to be born again. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's done that. Praise God. Amen. But if you are, well, if you're shy, like many of us are, and say, I'm saved, but I'm not one to stand behind a pulpit, and I'm not one to, you know, I understand. God understands. We're shy. But if you're just never, if you've never just trusted Christ, why don't you do it before the service is over? Don't wait to the end. You say, well, it's beating pretty good. What happened? It stopped beating, and you would have to stand before Almighty God. You know, so you want to make sure that you're saved. I don't need to be sure that you're saved. I would find comfort in that, but I don't need to because God's never called me up when somebody has passed and say, Rev, did you know Mr. Jones? Is he saved? Should I let him into heaven? It doesn't work that way. No. Someplace, sometime, somewhere, you recognize that you were a sinner. The Bible would teach us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's you. That's me. That's us. Wages of sin is death, eternal separation from a holy and just God. But the gift of God is salvation, full and free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? I'm glad you are. If you aren't, get that matter settled right now. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to fold your hands. You don't have to get down on your knees. You need to open up your heart to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll come in and save you. Don't delay. Don't delay. Let me say it one more time. Don't delay. Life has been good, but when you stop and look back over some who did delay, it hurts. And I'm saying to you, please, 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 don't delay making that decision. Tomorrow is not a better day than today. Later is not a better time than now. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. Here in this particular text, this idea came to me about looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. Came to me because I was with a preacher at a pastor's fellowship, and somebody asked, what do you do? You know, preachers don't do anything. So only a few of you understood that. So it's like a vacation, you know. And so the one preacher had a part-time job with the, I guess you call it a part-time, with the Air Force. And he explained what he was doing, and he said he was there a couple days a week or whatever it was for 8 hours, and he watched a scope. He sat there for 8 hours watching this scope that showed the air traffic going across. And it was his responsibility to look and see if there was something flying across there that wasn't supposed to be flying across there. So it dawned on me, what he's doing, he's getting paid and as an Air Force, for looking for trouble. That was his job. He wasn't looking for the planes that were scheduled to go across there. He was looking for flying objects, whatever was going across there that didn't belong there. He was looking for trouble. If he wasn't looking for trouble, we'd be in trouble. You follow that? And so in our Christian lives, we need to be looking for trouble. And if we're not looking for trouble, we'll wind up in trouble. No? I've seen young couples or young people, parents say, I don't want you going out with Jimmy. What is she doing? Mom doing? Dad doing? Hey, they see some trouble and they don't want you to get in trouble. And they've warned you. And God's saying here, we need to be, as a body of believers, individually, we need to be looking for trouble. We have failed. As a culture, a Christian culture, we have failed. We have allowed trouble to come in. I remember the day we used to, when TV was popular, all right? When TV first came in, you're looking at a bald-headed preacher who preached against the idiot box. The idiot box. Folks were there. But that brought into our home an anti-Christian culture. And we cried against it when there were only three channels. I mean, it's howdy doody time, you know. Broke up our meal time. We had to watch howdy doody instead of eating the meal that my mother fixed. We cried against it. Now, you chuckle at that. But some saw that it was the beginning of a deterioration of a mealtime. Some of you can remember back at 6 o'clock, it was mealtime. Everybody gathered around a dining room table and sat down there and prayed, maybe sang a song, shared a testimony, so forth and so on. The nation was stronger. Now, we're here in a way to warn so that we don't have a continuation. There needs to be a change. There needs to be a break in that. We need to go back. If you say, we need to go back to the old-fashioned way, we need to go back to the Bible way. Amen. Train up a child in the way she should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way they ought to go. Train up a child in the way he should go. So that when he's old, he's not going to depart from it because he's been trained in the way he ought to go. I've been in Christian education for a long period of time. And in it, I've seen where mom and dad are trying to train the child in the way they should go. But that child gets to associate with a child who's not being trained in the same direction. And you know what peer pressure is? And it always lowers to the lowest common denominator. It never rarely seems to go up, but it always goes down. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. And I would suggest to young people that they take the admonition from parents who have gotten beaten up along the way. Who have had their knocks along the way. Now they know what trouble smells like. They know what trouble looks like, and they're trying to warn our younger generation. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. I went to the doctors a while back, and when I went there, he said, Rev, you're looking great. That's $100. No. When I go to the doctor, I want him to look for trouble. I want him to check whatever he needs to check, look at whatever he needs to look at, measure whatever, you know, whatever it is, I want him to do. Now, some of that is a little bit like church. Okay? I've never preached a sweeter bunch of people than what we have here. I mean, I can almost hear your wings flapping. It's so angelic. The crowns are not even tilted. They got a good shine. Oh, my. This, you know, and I hope you didn't come to church just for that. I'm sure glad you're in church. I praise God that you're in church, and I'm not here to shoot you down or anything else like that. I'm glad you're here. But I hope you came to find out, like a doctor, when you went to the doctor, your blood pressure is just a little bit high. Okay? Maybe you're, I don't know any other medical terms, but, you know. And so the doctor, you go to the doctor, you expect him to be looking for trouble. I go to the dentist. I don't go to the dentist anymore. I send my teeth. You thought that was funny. No, it was meant to be. It was meant to be. I told you the last time or one of the times I was here, when I sent them away, they sent me back another set of teeth that weren't mine. They were ladies' teeth, and I haven't stopped talking since then. You're looking for trouble. If you're not, you go to the dentist, you expect the dentist to look for some cavities. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. When a teacher grades your paper in school, she's looking for trouble. She's looking to see the words you spelt wrong. Most of the time, they then put a lot of C's going down there. Not on mine anyway. But, you know, it was correct. They put X's, you know, check mark, you know, whatever they use to let you know that it was wrong. They were looking for trouble. Some of you know the name J.C. Penney? J.C. Penney? When he was a young lad, he took on a job at a farm. And his job was to look for trouble. They paid him to look for trouble. First thing he had to do was check the wooden post on the farm. And his job was to walk around. Actually, he hired the people to do this. He hired someone to check the post. And his job, that young man's job, was to walk around and shake the post to see if there was any loose. That kid was getting paid for looking for trouble. We're looking for trouble if we're not looking for trouble in your life. We're going someplace. Stay with me. Then a wire checker. Barbed wire fence running around the outside. If that gets loosened up, they'll work the fence. They'll work the fence. The cows will go where they were not supposed to be and so forth. And this young, another young lad was hired to do that, to look for trouble. Any loose wire? Let's get it fixed. Looking for trouble. Then they hired one more young lad who was a weed hunter. A weed hunter. But this young lad was to walk around the periphery of a grazing area to see if there was any weeds or thistles or whatever else might be growing that shouldn't be there to ruin the blue grass or whatever type of grass they had growing in the field. And so that kid's responsibility was looking for trouble. And our culture has taught our parents, don't look for trouble anymore. Just let them do whatever they want, and then all of a sudden they'll be grown up and they'll be, no, we don't even look for trouble. My daughter said, Daddy, is there anything you like? I'm always looking for trouble. Uh-huh. You know, the clothes that you wear say something. Come on now. It says something. Yeah. I want you to think that I'm not colorblind, so I wore a tie. Hopefully it has enough colors in it. It's got to match something I have on. You're looking for trouble when you're not looking for trouble. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. These young men were hired by J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was an interesting man. I understand I wasn't around when he was around. But he told those that worked for him that if you do not go to church on Sunday, you do not come here to work on Monday. He didn't fire them. But if you took Sunday off from God, then you can take Monday off from J.C. Penney. And they didn't get paid for that day. He expected them to work Monday and go to church on Sunday. Amen? Now we have restaurants that will give you a special discount if you bring your church bulletin in. I've been looking for mine ever since I got here. We're looking for trouble if we're not looking for trouble. Somebody who didn't show up for church today for a not an excusable reason is looking for trouble. You can't skip church and stay close to God if you're capable and able physically and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you. That means we admonish you, we encourage you, we plead with you, we exhort you. Brethren, that's those of the faith. Warn them that are unruly. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we do everything we ought to do. And we need to be helping folks along the way. The first person that we need to help is the one you see when you look in the mirror. All right? We need to help the one that we're seeing in the mirror. I like a doctor that takes his own medicine. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and unto all men. We need to set an example. In other words, folks need to see. This is not trouble. I'll go ahead and say it and then I say forgive me. means in the beginning of it. But Ma and I have been married for 52 years. I'll put happily married for 52 years, now almost 53 years. She's questioned the happily part, but that's okay. It comes in the notes. But we've been married for a long period of time. Now, I'm not saying we have a perfect marriage, but I think we've had a good marriage, and I thank God for all that he's done for us and so forth and so on. I had three girls. Each one of those three girls, when they were born, we prayed that they would accept Christ as their personal Savior at an early age. We did our very best to see that they were in church every time the doors were open. Why? Because we wanted them to accept Christ at an early age. I appreciate that little sweet young lady back yonder there making googly eyes. And I was getting myself in trouble trying to, you know, mommy's trying to keep the little girl. Anyway, what I'm saying is we need to, you, I don't know how to say it graciously, but we had those three girls and we tried to train them in the way they should go. And then they went off and they found three husbands. Husband one's a preacher. Husband two is a preacher. Husband three is a preacher. That doesn't necessarily always work that way, but I thank God for it. Why? Because they couldn't go places where the rest of the kids might be going. And they couldn't listen to what possibly the rest of the kids were listening to. They couldn't dress with what they couldn't do it. And so, you know, my kid has to be culturally in step. No, they need to be spiritually in step. When looking for trouble, let me give you something that you might want to consider. How do I kind of see if this particular philosophy, this particular style, this particular place, this particular thought, is it contrary to the Word of God? And so, typical preacher, I made a list. And we're going to go, you ever do sword drills? You all know what a sword drill is? Now, I'm not going to ask you to hold up your Bible or anything else like that. I'm not giving candy away to the one gets it first. Now, but I am saying Proverbs chapter 6. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 6. And consider the following. When you're looking for trouble, I don't want to look for trouble. Go back to the car. I should have looked for trouble when I hit the brakes and I had no brakes. I mean, literally no brake. You know, right to the pedal. I mean, right to the floor the pedal went. Looking for trouble. Consider the following when looking for trouble. Does the Bible prohibit this conduct? Number one, if the Bible says something that you ought not to be doing, prohibits this conduct, then you not ought not, you just don't do it. You just don't do it. These six things doth the Lord hate. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. We just don't do it. We just don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We just don't do it. Seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Well, that was only a little lie. That was only a little white lie. Tell him I'm not home. Whatever it is. You put your own application on it. But looking for trouble. If we perpetually live with a lying tongue, we're in trouble. Hands that shed innocent blood. Not so much physically, but verbally shedding innocent blood. And hearts that devise wicked imaginations. I don't know what's in the movie house today. I honestly, I couldn't. I don't think for $1 million I could give you a name of a contemporary movie. Make it $2 million, I might think. No. Thank you, Ma. Wicked imagination. Many of us say, I would never believe that they're doing what they're doing, saying what they're saying, seeing what they're seeing, going where they're going. It's wicked. Consider the following when looking for trouble. Don't. Somebody sooner or later has got to kick some things. Amen? Uh-huh. I mentioned the TV. Tomorrow I'll be preaching at snow camp. When we started at snow camp, I don't know, a good number of years ago, I preached a message against the TV. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Amen? That's a Bible verse. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. You understand that? And I preach against the TV. Do you have a TV? You go in the motorhome, there's a TV up there, but it's not connected to anything. It's just a thingamajigger. All right? And I preach against it. And our Christian school, We gave free tuition if a family would turn in their TV set. Amen? Free tuition for the whole year. If you have one child, two child, three children, free tuition for the whole year. One family said when the year was up, do I get my TV back? No. Your TV went to snow camp. And when I preached against TV up at snow camp, I took the TV and I set it on a table on the side here. And I already brought a sledgehammer with me and a big blanket. I took the big blanket because you break the screen and all. Back in those days, I don't know what it had in it and stuff. Not like these things today, whatever. But anyway, I took it and I took that sledgehammer. After I put the towel, blanket, whatever it was, over top of it, smashed it. A good TV, and that lady wanted it back. I should have given it back. And say, but I couldn't live without it. You're not doing a good job living with it. Am I trying to send you on a guilt trip? You better believe it. Am I trying to be kind and sweet to you? I'm not. That idiot box that has come into our homes has damned our homes. Damned the family relationships. It's not Mickey Mouse, and that was worthy of being damned. Some of you aren't smiling at me anymore. It was good up to this point, but I have to watch I Love Lucy. I Love Lucy. That's like a little kindergarten program to the trash that's on there today. Can I get an amen from Ma? Thank you. What you're doing if somebody else follows in those steps. Well, I went out and I got a big screen TV. I mean, it's gigantic. It's real to life. You're not going to believe what the Eagles are going to look like. My wife said to me when I came up, she said, Rev, you're scheduled next week. I don't think I am. Come on. In eternity, what does the Philadelphia Eagles have to do with eternity? Many, if not most of the churches in the Northeast have a hard enough time keeping enough money in the flow to keep the heat on, to keep the electricity on, so forth and so on. And the money that's being dropped at that game today, get mad at me if you want, let the air out of my tires, whatever you want to do. But I think it's about time somebody says, that is garbage. Well, you don't like football. Well, I like golf a whole lot, and I think that's garbage. And if it's on Sunday, I don't want to watch it. Well, that's because you don't like golf. I do. I'm waiting to preach. I told you, I think this is. But I'm sitting down there holding my Bible like it was a golf club. A golf grip. Like that, a golf grip. I'm serious. Not thinking. Subconsciously, you look at my Bible later, you'll see where my thumb goes. Right there, it's worn. From holding it as a golf grip. But I'm not going to watch it. All right? Why? Sunday TV is bad news. Monday TV is bad news. Are there more days in the week? It's bad news. You're sitting out there saying, I don't care what he says. I'm watching the Eagles tonight. I'm hoping that you just kind of choke on a pretzel or something. Where should those people be on the Lord's day? Where should people be on the Lord's day? In church? Coming up the turnpike this morning, I see the flags heading south with some type of bird on it that people get all excited about. Now, if you're mad at me, raise your hand. I got a gentleman back there stretching. I want to raise, but it just won't go up. Oh, I'm trying. We need to be mad at the devil and the devil's crowd. Anyway, how do I get on that? Let me get back to some notes. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. And we are in trouble in this nation because back yonder, not enough people were looking for trouble. And not enough people were saying, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Guess what I did Sunday afternoon? I went home and unplugged my TV set. I didn't take a hammer and smash it, but I unplugged it. And I wouldn't want to sell it to somebody else. Not with the program that's on it. You are hard-pressed to find a decent program. Let me get off. You say, that's your hobby horse. No, 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 I got a whole corral full of them. Will this conduct, point number two, will this conduct be a good stewardship of my time or talents? In other words, I'm continuing. Is this going to be considered? Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? Is it a good use of my time and my talents and my tithe, my money? Is this a good use? I'm looking for trouble. Those things, excuse me, John chapter 4, verse 35. Go ahead, turn there, please. Rattle the pages so I think you're still with me. John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye, is this a good, I'm thinking about doing this, and is it good conduct, is it good proper, and is it good use of my time, or my talents, or my tithe, or my abilities, or my possessions? Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ready to harvest. In other words, the time is running out. We've got to do something. As a body of Christian folks, we need to do something. Your faithfulness to the Lord's house with the doors open, the lights on, the Sunday school and so forth and so on. We need to do something. You're having this February 4th. Okay? We need to do something. We need to get a whole lot of people into God's house who haven't been in God's house in a long time to let them know that the God's house and the people inside God's house are still alive and still well. There's a world out there that doesn't know how good it is to be in God's house. They've been brainwashed that the other junk is wholesome, and this is not. But this is. This is nourishing, spiritually well-being. Happy families come to church. Happy families live by biblical principles. Happy children obey mom and dad. This is the way to roll. This is the way to go. Oh, I feel sorry for you. You have to go to church Sunday morning? Oh, Sunday? Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh. Let me give you another one. Will it, you're going to consider whether it is what you want to or what you don't want to. Is it trouble or not trouble? Will this conduct, will this idea or this action encourage others to serve God? Will what you're doing, somebody's going to ask you at work tomorrow, what'd you do yesterday? I went to church and it was great. You know, that's going to encourage somebody else to go to church. Well, I stayed home and watched the Eagles game. Oh, boring. I can't believe you did that. And you could have gone to church or whatever it was. Philippians chapter 4. Listen to this. 4 and verse 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know who said that? Paul. That was not an angel falling down from heaven. That was a flesh and blood apostle. That was a flesh and blood preacher. Flesh and blood missionary who said, let me set an example for you. Let me set an example. Those things that you heard me teach and say, and go out and do them. Do them. Do them. My daughter used to say, I want to marry daddy when I grow up. Do them. Do them. Do them. Wouldn't it be great to be voted, hypothetically, you know, the father of the year, the mother of the year? No, I'm too humble. I know I deserve it. I know that, but I'm just too humble. If anybody voted for me, I would just tear up their ballot. Wouldn't it be nice to be a candidate? Those things that you've seen, we need more of the senior saints. Listen to me. We need more of what they call the senior saints doing so that the younger generation can see how it's done. I'm not ashamed to let you know that I am married for 53 years. Amen? And some of you sit back there saying, better you than me. No. If he had to do it over again, would you marry me? I'm not stupid. Sure I would. Yeah, when you got the best, what is it? When you care enough to give the very best? When you got the very best, why not want to do it over again? Some of you men need to go home and wash your mouth out with soap. I'm stepping over here because this is not really biblical. But you still need to go home and wash your mouth out with soap. She's not your old lady. Some men would be willing to die for their wife, but not willing to live for her. You follow that? You write that down someplace. Honey, I'd die for you. Why don't you try living for me? How many times have I asked you to put the garbage out? They had to bring one truck just to pick up our garbage. We need to be on our toes. What you are now giggling at is the damnation and the weakening of a nation. They need to hear the men in our homes saying, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. Dad, you need to be saying, hey, get out in the car. I've trained our kids, my own and our school kids and church kids and so forth along the way. When it is 9:30 and it takes a half hour to get here, at 9 o'clock, you just go out in the car. If mom's not there, dad's not there, you just get out in the car. They'll wonder why it's so quiet in the house. Oh, it's Sunday morning. It's time to go to church. In your Bibles, Joshua chapter 24. Let me give you one or two more and we'll be whatever. Will this conduct, well, I'm thinking about doing something, and will this encourage others to serve God better? I want you to understand the truism that I've enjoyed every bit of my trip as a Christian. Somebody said to me the other day, I know you became a preacher because there was nothing else you could do. All right. And I'll give you a list of some things I could possibly have done. But that's not the idea. It was, let's do something for God in this country. Let's do something for God in our church. Let's do something for God in our home. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for God, for Christ, whatever's will last. You got that as a mindset? Will this conduct reduce my ability to serve God? We're looking for trouble. And if I do this, as a Christian man in my community, they know my car. I don't have a car anymore, but they do. I had a Jaguar one time. Woo. It was free and somebody gave it to me. I'm not an idiot. Okay. I may be dumb, but I'm not an idiot. And I said, sure, I'll take it. Anyway, God's been good. Will this conduct, what I'm thinking about, will it have the appearance of evil? I don't want to park it. Jaguar, Rev's Jaguar, didn't have REV for license plate. Well, I don't want to park that in front of Joe's Tavern, even if I was just unloading something. You follow? Because it'd give the appearance of evil. Well, if Rev can go to Joe's Tavern, then I guess I can. I saw his car out there. Honey, I saw his car. We can go there. It's okay. Not going to happen. I'm looking for trouble. That would be trouble. That'd be trouble. I've had people say, well, I know you were there. No, I wasn't there. No, I saw your car out there. Seeing my car out there doesn't mean I was out there. You want to be careful who you lend your car to. Will this conduct have the appearance of evil? Uh-huh. Does it look like I'm identifying with this particular crowd? Am I saying something by what I'm wearing? If you were a football fan today, I would expect you to be wearing something. I wouldn't want you to, but you would be wearing something representative of your team. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And I think we ought to adorn ourselves in that way, and young ladies in modest apparel, abstain from all appearances of evil. Will this conduct cause others to stumble? If I do this, can somebody else fall? If I do this, and let me mention one more thing. Will this conduct put me close to spiritual danger? Will doing this put me close to spiritual danger? There's some places you just can't go. Why did you bring that up? Who said that? I brought it up. Only playing with you. The beach. The beach. There's a place where, under most normal use of the beach, I don't know what beach you folks truck to up here, but if you go to the shore on the 4th of July, you shouldn't be there. I'm looking for somebody to agree beside my wife. She's like one of those bobble things you put on the dashboard of your car years ago. At least she was going the right way and she wasn't going like that. You say, why are you picking on us? We are sliding fast. And our kids are going fast. Okay? No, don't say that, Riff. Come here, Ma. I want to run this by you for you. No. Now you're trying to figure out what I'm going to say. Okay? I'll write it in a book and you can read it. We need to get back to your notes. We need to stay far away from spiritual danger. You know what spirit, the beach is spiritual danger. Do you remember what the old timers wore to the beach? They could wear it to church. You remember what the old timers wore to the beach? They could wear it to church. It doesn't work that way anymore. Well, I've got a summer house boarded up. Go down there from October the 1st to May the 1st. When it's like it is outside now, you do not have to worry about nudity. Everybody wants to borrow a sweater, a coat, a jacket, or whatever else they'll wrap around themselves to stay warm. You say, what does that have to do with church? This nation is rapidly going down the slides because nobody's saying what needs to be said where the rubber meets the road. Enter Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Will this conduct, will this place I'm going, will this style, will it produce spiritual danger for somebody else? Even though I think I can handle it. Proverbs 4, verse 14 says this. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. Pass away. With this, I'll stop. We need to stay as far away. When you're looking for trouble, look for it. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. We need to stay away. An old timer, back before the automobile, was hiring a chauffeur. It could have been an automobile. Hiring a chauffeur, and he contacted the first one, said to the first candidate, wanted to be hired, drive his limousine, just say. Drive his limousine. Let's stay with the horse and buggy. I can identify with that more than the limousine. And, here we are. We're going around a cliff. Got this idea now. I'm going to get in the buggy, and I'm going to hire this man to drive me around there. And we're going around a cliff. We're on the road. And I said to him, how close can you get to the side of that cliff and not go over? Remember, I'm in the buggy. And so he thinks for a minute and said, well, I can probably get 2 or 3 feet away from the side of that cliff. I think that's pretty good. And I go around. I just got another guy come in. I interview him and so forth. How close do you think you can go around that? He said, well, I can get about 1 foot away from the edge of that cliff. That's pretty good. I'm in the coach. You're going to get 1 foot away? I get one more guy's coming in. I said, I told him the same scenario. I'm in the back of the coach. You're up in the driver's seat, going around that cliff. We're going at good speed. How close can you come to the edge of that cliff? And that one who was a candidate for chauffeur says, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I was going to stay as far away from the edge of that cliff as I can. You got that? And we live in a culture today that says, I'm going to get as close to the edge of transgression as I can. And we've let it happen. You what? We don't get shocked anymore. We don't get surprised anymore. You went where? We need to practice just a little bit. You did what? No. But it wouldn't hurt that we would be a culture that's shocked once again at what's happening. You go to the doctor's office, they got the TV set blaring there. They say, you wouldn't mind. I know you would, but you wouldn't mind if I shut this off, click. And you can't even click them anymore. You go, 4,500 choices on this little piece of paper or little thing there. It must be plugged in, so just unplug it. You say, you do something like that? Do you think it's good and healthy for those people to be sitting there watching what's on that? Come on now. Oh, no, I think maybe there might be some good in it. You don't really want to check, but you check the programming that's on the idiot box. Somebody's going to pull them. Somebody will be pulling the plug. Why are we in such a mess? Why are our families all broken up? Huh? Why? Because the devil's enticed, not just in that way, but in other ways. Do you remember going to a grocery store and say, you've got that junk on your counter, those magazines here, I'm not shopping in here anymore. Mr. Walmart would tell you, tough, go. Yeah? They don't want to hear you. Did you hear enough this morning? You want me to start over? You want me to go back to a couple points? We need revival in America. We need a revival of Christianity. We need a revival of biblical way of living. That little song, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go, for it's a grand thing to be a soldier. Where? In his army here below. It's the grandest thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And as we leave this place today, those on the outside need to know, it's a grand thing to be a Christian. Why are you happy? I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven's so wonderful, bright and fair. Praise the Lord. I'm going there. Praise the Lord. No, they'll be at that game. Yay, 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 yay. Going all bananas. And I just raised my hand and said, praise the Lord. Where'd he come from? Now, I'm not advocating you stand on the truth or anything, but you know what? You could smile every once in a while. You could go like that every once in a while. Amen once in a while. And it could be carried on the outside as well as on the inside. I'm not talking about synthetic. I'm not talking about artificial. I'm not putting on. There are some folks they just wouldn't. It's just not going to happen. But it needs to happen here. And it needs to happen here. And every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt if it came out here. You're looking for trouble if you're not looking for trouble. If you are tempted to push the button, just think about trouble that you're inviting into your living room. You're entertained with other people's heartaches and griefs. You're asking one team to beat up on another team. Kill them, kill them, kill them. Oh, that ref. And I'm a candidate to be a deacon. I just advocated murdering the ref. Well, somewhere along the way, I need to stop. We need to get an alarm on that clock. Amen. The most important thing that I said this morning was, are you saved? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, according to the Word of God, that you're on the way to heaven? If you haven't, while I'm praying, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Why don't you come and trust him this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you for its testimony over the years. We thank you for the godly stance that's been taken without apology for the old time gospel. We pray that that lamp has been passed on to the body believers here that are now taking it and keeping that torch burning bright. Continue to bless each one of the family of God that's here this morning. There may be one sitting here that's not born again. Lord, send your Holy Spirit of conviction to that heart. And may in simple, childlike faith, they pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And may they, the best that they know how, turn from sin to the Savior. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse from all sin. Accomplish your will. And Lord, I know salvation is a personal matter, but it's good for somebody to know about it, to share it with someone, to let someone else know. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. I wonder if you're saved when you slip your hand up, indicate as such. Just, I'm not going to be looking, nobody's looking, but just slip your hand up as a physical indicator that there was a time in my life that I trusted Christ. I'm living for Him today the best I know how. And I'm going to say amen, not because I saw something, but I believe something. If you couldn't raise your hand, what you need to do is pray that prayer. Understanding your sin and the love of God that sent His Son to take your sin to the cross of Calvary and pay that debt. Would you trust Him? Would you tell somebody about that? Salvation is not based upon your ability to tell somebody, but would you tell somebody? Would you thank God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for these folks. We thank You for the time that they spent here in this place. May it, each moment of that time, be used of Your Holy Spirit in a profitable way. Lord, I do ask for forgiveness for not saying what I should have said or saying it in a right manner, but Your Holy Spirit can take it, and I ask You to blot out that which needed not to be said and what ought to have been said. Use it in a mighty way to send revival once again. And we pray for America, but we pray for this place right here, Race Street. Lord, I pray You bless it. For the afternoon, guide and direct us, traveling mercies along the way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to hear some more good music. Somebody going to lead us in singing? Amen. Now, while they're singing, you want to pray. You can just stay right in your seat. You can come to an old-fashioned altar. You can just talk to God that way.
292 in the hymn book. 292.
Thank you.
revelation from your word. Help us to remember that we are in this world, but we should not be of it. Mm-hmm. And we pray that you would guide us and protect us and keep us from the devices of the evil one. We pray that we would stick close to you and stay far away from the edge of that cliff. Mm-hmm. Give us safety as we travel to our homes. May what we have heard today stick with us. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. Mm-hmm. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a good day.